I've given a standing watch program recently on certain aspects of it, and not everybody liked it. And what I'm going to say now, I believe even less people will like it, especially when it's going to be posted. Not talking about those who are listening in now, but when it's posted on the internet. Because in light of increased domestic violence cases, in light of increased suicides, in light of unparalleled amounts of unemployed workers in the United States and around the world, we can now find out that more and more voices are being heard, questioning the restrictive measures taken to combat the coronavirus. And I'd like to just give you a few examples. I don't know whether you've heard about the Ron Paul Institute. They are sending out very interesting comments and articles and opinions. And so on April 7, they published the following statement. Resistance building to coronavirus house arrest orders. It is about time. And then they go on to say, across the country, from political leaders to small business owners to parents who just want to take their children to the park, resistance is growing to the authoritarians who have effectively suspended the Constitution and placed most of the country under house arrest. Lawsuits are also challenging unlawful stay-at-home orders. What if all the hysteria-driven orders have actually made the virus outbreak even worse? More scientists are coming forward to argue for the Sweden model of moderation rather than lockdown. Now, Ron Paul is not the only one raising those concerns. Just this morning, the Washington Examiner published the following article. Attorney General William Barr said, the United States would be wise to make sure measures taken to stem the spread of the coronavirus do not necessarily infringe on the civil rights of the United States citizens. I think we have to be very careful to make sure that the draconian measures that are being adopted are fully justified and there are not alternative ways of protecting the people, he said. I am very concerned about the slippery slope in terms of continuing encroachments on personal liberty. And again, he is not the only one questioning the constitutionality of those measures which have been taken. Newsweek wrote this on April 3. On his Fox News program on Friday, host Tucker Carlson said, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci had been wrong about the current coronavirus pandemic in the United States repeatedly, and that his call for all states to issue stay-at-home orders would amount to national suicide. He said more than 10 million Americans have already lost their jobs. Now, the thing is, that was written in April 3, but now it's almost 17 million as of this morning, 17 million Americans have already lost their jobs, and they say the figure is probably much higher than 17 million, because many cannot even get to the unemployment offices. Some say it might be 20 to 30 million pretty soon, losing their jobs. Tucker Carlson said in here, imagine another year of this. That would be national suicide, and yet, that is what Anthony Fauci is suggesting. Carlson suggested Fauci was not looking at the economic ramifications of the coronavirus response because Fauci has bulletproof job security. High U.S. unemployment rates, according to Carlson, are a far bigger disaster than the virus itself, by any measure. Our response to coronavirus could turn this into a far poorer nation. Poor countries are unhealthy countries, always and everywhere. In poor countries, people die of treatable diseases, In poor countries, people are far more vulnerable to obscure viruses like the one we are fighting now. You want to keep Americans from dying before their time? They then do not impoverish them, he said. The Associated Press wrote on April 8 that conservative voices are pushing for an economic and social restart, urging Trump to overrule health officials. At some point, the president is going to have to look at Drs. Fauci and Birx and say, "We are opening on May 1. Fox commentator Laura Ingram tweeted, "Give me your best guidance on protocols, but we cannot deny our people their basic freedoms any longer." There are more and more, and I could give you literally dozens of articles pointing out these kind of concerns. And I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about Germany and Austria, where things are equally bad, perhaps even worse than they are here. But I want to read one more article, because to me that was an extreme and an extremely interesting eye-opener. And it was written by the Washington Times, by no means a left-liberal paper. They published this article on April 8. It's an analysis opinion piece by Cheryl Chumley. And that's what she wrote. It's a rather lengthy article. I just want to give you a few excerpts. When I read that, I thought, that was so predictable. That was so predictable. You might agree with me, you might disagree with me when you hear what's being said here. Anthony Fauci, America's most listened to medical professional on the coronavirus, has just warned that cooler head coronavirus watchers have suspected all along that this country may never, no, never, go back to normal. Never. That is, Fauci suggested, until a vaccine is developed. And by logical extension, that is to say, never, until the vaccine is developed, that must then be included on the required list of shots for all children to attend school. What great news for Bill Gates, who just announced his foundation is going to spend billions of dollars to help build factories for 7 possible coronavirus vaccine makers. Spend is probably the wrong word here. Invest is more like it. Deaths due to the coronavirus are wildly open to interpretation, wildly speculative, wildly unscientific. What do doctors consider a coronavirus death? In the United Kingdom, health officials give daily counts of deaths of those who tested positive for the coronavirus, but who might have actually died from other medical conditions. In the United States, doctor discretion reigns. The World Health Organization, UNICEF, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have announced a collaboration to increase coordination across the international vaccine community and create a global vaccine action plan, the Gates Foundation reported in a press release. The collaboration follows the January 2010 call by Bill and Melinda Gates for the next 10 years to be the decade of vaccines. The decade of vaccines? It's a structured campaign. It includes a leadership council, a steering committee, an international advisory committee, and more. But here's an interesting link. The leadership council is comprised of Dr. Anthony Fauci. The Gates Foundation reported, Fauci, the same guy who just set the stage for the dire need for a protective coronavirus vaccine, has a vested interest in seeing this vaccine come to widely administered fruition. For certain, inside of Fork, vaccines are great economic and political investments, especially when they come as saving grace solutions to widely spread fears, especially when they come as required, mandated protections for global populations. So I want to leave you with this, and you can do with it what you please. But my cautionary remark is to be extremely careful not to just jump on every new statistics you might be hearing about. Oh, there's another case here and another 10 or 20 or 100 or whatever cases there where people have died of the coronavirus because they may or may not have died because of the coronavirus. And when it comes to the vaccines, who would have a monetary interest in it the most?